Greet each one in Jesus' name this morning. It's a blessing to be gathered together in this way again this morning, and been blessed already in the service. And as we looked at some of the Psalms and also in Sunday school, and I guess I've taken a little encouragement there that God, it's not so much focused on the messenger, but on God's message and on the seed that is sown and on God's word. And I feel this morning maybe slightly ill-prepared, but I'm thankful that God can, God, as the seed is sown, God can use it and bring forth fruit. What I have to share this morning is something that I feel we have a lack of in our churches, something that I feel we have a need for more of in our Mennonite churches. And as I look at our own church in Somersville, as I look at other churches, and I see a need for more, thinking of men of conviction. But probably more than anything, I've shared this message at Somersville, and probably more than anything, this message has been born out of a need in my own heart. As I feel a weakness there in simply standing for truth, no matter what others are doing, and standing for truth no matter what pressures I face, and standing for truth no matter where others may come out. And this message can be taken wrong, and I want to, some of the statements I make this morning could be taken wrong, and I want to, I'm open to being corrected, and I'm also open to your sharing in some of these areas. But I believe that as we look at the Bible and the examples in the Bible, and if I would ask you to share this morning, who are some of the men that stand out to you? The patriarchs that we read about in the Bible, I'd probably hear men like Abraham, men like Daniel, men like Joshua, David. And there's one thing that I think as we look at the lives of these men, there's one thing that stands out. And I think they fit in this. They were men of conviction. They were men that took a stand for what they knew was right. They took a stand, privileges that you and I have today. They didn't have churches all around them, and I believe churches that are trying to do what is right. They didn't have all these advantages. Some of them at least didn't grow up in a home where they were taught everything that we are taught. And so we have some advantage over some of these men. Let's just turn to Daniel chapter 1, maybe just to see. I'm not sure if James is going to let me have an introduction this morning. He said, talked about Jonah getting right to his message. But Daniel chapter 1, I'd just like to read a couple verses. Very familiar verses. In chapter 1, I didn't write this verse down, but we have, okay, it's verse 8. And Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. I think we'll just stop there. Daniel had a purpose of heart. And that's what I would like to talk about this morning. Men of conviction, or men that have a purpose of heart. Daniel, think just a little bit about Daniel. At a young age, taken away from his family, and a lot of pressure put on him to do some things that maybe weren't necessarily wrong, but they were against what he had been taught. And Daniel purposed that he would not do it. There were other young men here. And some of those young men, I believe, went ahead and did the things that they were asked to do, that Daniel decided not to do. Where did they come out? I don't know. I don't know where they all came out. But I wonder if they came out where they wanted to come out. And This morning, when we begin to compromise, when we begin to make some exceptions, and we begin to back down just a little bit, I think we need to be careful as to where the end of that road might be and where they may have come out. But Daniel didn't do that. Daniel stood for what he knew was right. Even though maybe he thought he could have got by, he took a stand. And I like to especially challenge, I talk about men of conviction, I believe women also, we have women of conviction, and I like to especially challenge our youth, young men. That's where it starts. If it doesn't start as youth, it's much harder when we get older to take a stand in areas in our life. And I know that from experience. I know that there were times when I didn't take a stand when I should have. And it's much harder to do it later in life. And so I challenge you as youth to not say that I'm just a young man. As I get older, I'll take a look at some of these things. And for now, I kind of do whatever my parents sort of decide what I do. And maybe the church sort of decides what I do. And beyond that, I don't think a lot about it. I challenge you to go farther than that and to know where you stand. And I mentioned in our Mennonite churches, and I don't want to be hard on our Mennonite churches because I'm thankful for what we have and what we've grown up with. But I do think that there is a possibility of our youth growing up in the circles that we do and to become weak because of it. And the reason I say that is our youth as a whole, and not just our youth, but all of us are somewhat, there are certain things we can do and certain things we can't. And if we're not careful, we use that as, may I say, as our conviction, as where we stand, because I can do this, I can't do that, so I know where I'm at. But rather, I'm concerned that what happens if I would be taken away from the circle that I grew up in, and I were placed in the middle of a city somewhere where there was nobody around, no influence that I grew up with, where would I come out? And young men have faced this in the past. And it hasn't all been well. It hasn't all turned out well. But where would I come out if I were taken away from the people that I grew up with, the influence that I grew up with, and I were placed in a setting away from that? Young men, where would you come out? Where would you know where you stand? Would you stand somewhere, or would you simply do whatever the others around you were doing? And not just young men, it'll be hard on you, but rather I think this goes beyond young men. I think this goes to the fathers. I think this goes to the older ones of us, that do we know where we stand in our homes? Do we take a stand? Do we know where we stand? Or is it simply, well, I have to do this and I have to do that? Children, you have, the church says that this has got to be, and so this is what we do. Or do we know what we believe ourselves? Well, let's move on. And again, I don't believe that our churches are the fault of this. I don't believe that our way of life and our Mennonite culture and our church standards, I'll mention church standards a few times, and I don't believe that they're at fault. And we'll look at that a little more later. Maybe to illustrate this, I don't know much about trees, but I have seen already what happens to a tree that has been in right in the center of a forest, and that's where it grew up, that's where it always was, and suddenly a logger gets in there and he cuts trees around and he leaves a few standing. What happens to those trees that were in the center? They're weak, and a storm comes up and they blow over, they're damaged, versus a tree that has grown up and had to stand the test by itself. There's some strength there that the other trees don't have. And so I think that we have a blessing to have churches that and to grow up in the churches that we have here with brethren around to help us. And I'm blessed by that. But let's not become weak because of that. Let's not let that become our strength, but rather let's stand for what is right in our lives. Thinking about men of conviction, what is a conviction? the dictionary definition, or one of the dictionary definitions of a conviction, is a firmly held belief. Thinking about Daniel, we read here, Daniel said, or in Daniel, it was a purpose of heart, something that he knew where he stood, a purpose of heart, or a firmly held belief. John Koblenz uses this definition, says this about conviction, something we believe we are personally obligated to do before God. And I like that definition, something that I am personally, I believe that I am personally obligated to do before God. It may not be something that you're obligated to do. Maybe something that you don't see. Maybe some stand that you don't take. But that I, in my heart, believe that I am obligated before God to do. I believe that's conviction. Conviction oftentimes is formed around issues that maybe are not necessarily right or wrong. And I think that's mostly what we're looking at this morning, is some areas that, depending on our background, maybe in our upbringing, depending on circumstances, maybe they would not be anything wrong, but it's a place where we, as a young man, we as a father in our home, have taken a stand, and here's where I want to be, and here's where I will stand in my life, for myself. And as we make that commitment, it becomes a conviction, and we are willing to take that stand. Maybe for somebody, because of a struggle they have in their life, a particular struggle, maybe it's because of somebody that has had a problem with drinking. And because of that, they need to avoid places that maybe some of us wouldn't think a whole lot about going. And they need to avoid places where that pressure would be too strong for them. And I could make this a lot more practical. Whatever it may be, whatever area may be in your life that you need to take a stand, maybe because of things you struggle with or because of where you know you will go if you cross that line. And so you take a stand in those areas. I like to look at, to clarify just a few things that we are not talking about this morning. And I think it's easy to... I'm sure that I don't have all the answers here in personal convictions, and it's easy to sometimes misuse personal convictions. And I like to simply, before we move into developing personal convictions a little more, I like to think about some things that we're not talking about this morning. So we have maybe a little more of an understanding. Again, quoting John Koblenz, he breaks some of this down into three categories, and it's been somewhat helpful for me in thinking about personal opinion, personal convictions, and indisputable issues. And as we think about that in those three categories, maybe it helps us a little bit to break it down. We're not talking about personal opinion this morning. And I'm sure we have a lot of personal opinion here. Everywhere you're in a group of people, you have a lot of personal opinions. And personal opinions too often are the things that maybe drive us apart because... And sometimes personal opinion, we build it up into personal conviction, or we build it up into something that that we pressure others to do also. And there's a lot of personal opinions here this morning. I'm sure if I asked you what time is the right time to get up in the morning, I would get a number of different answers, and probably some feel very strongly about it. I've heard that Grandpa was very strong on rising early. And I haven't stayed there, but I've heard of those that had, and he didn't look highly on somebody that slept in late in the morning. And so there would probably be some pretty strong opinions on what time you should get up in the morning, what time you should eat your meals. Some probably eat them whenever they have time or whenever they get hungry, and others say there's 6 o'clock in the morning, whatever, 7 o'clock, and then 12 o'clock and 5 o'clock. That's the time to eat your meals. Personal opinions. And it's all right to have personal opinions. We all have them, and that's okay. But let's remember that they're nothing to push off on somebody else. That doesn't mean that... Now, there may be times to give some encouragement for those that maybe just don't eat or don't take any time to eat, to say, listen, it is important to eat. But as far as some of the details, I think we can't push them off on others. There's sometimes people have strong opinions on when's the best time to have your personal devotions. It have to be in the morning and I believe that that's a good time to have it. I would agree. But there again, personal opinion. I think there can be difference of thought on that. So this morning we're not talking about personal opinion. We're not talking about just my idea of things. And I think with that there can be two extremes. We have maybe sometimes the extreme where somebody says, you know, this is the way I think it should be done, and the personal opinion gets pushed on others as a personal, is formed into a personal conviction when really it shouldn't be. And maybe the other, sometimes we have that, well, whatever everybody wants to do is okay, it doesn't matter. And that can become too extreme too, where we don't care. Whatever you want, whatever you think is right for you, you do it. Whatever I think is right for me, and it doesn't matter at all. Let's not go and in dealing with those type of people, maybe the first one tends to be a little hard to get along with, and the second one is easy to get along with, but they don't stand for a whole lot. Another thing that I would like to mention here, that personal conviction is not, and I believe, and I like to mention this here, I believe that as a whole, personal conviction does not cause conflict in church life. Now, I'm not saying it never does, but I think as a whole, personal conviction does not cause conflict in church life. And if you're like a normal church, you probably have some conflict. You probably have some, I don't know if I should say normal church, but the way most churches are anyway, there's some differences, and it causes some conflict. And as the church gets bigger, I think we see more of that coming out. And sometimes we might blame that on personal conviction. Now, you know, this person just thinks it has to be this way, But remember, don't forget the personal part. Personal conviction is something that I see for myself, and I take a stand here, and this is what I believe I should do. And I think when personal conviction becomes a problem is when we insist that others do what I think I should do. As it was mentioned, what God has called me to do, I try to force that on somebody else. Now, that brings us to... And maybe along with that, probably some of you know of some people that you feel are like that, that are, maybe you call them men of conviction, but they're hard to get along with. Everybody is supposed to do things just like they do. They insist on certain things. And I think maybe personal conviction has stepped out of its place a little bit. I'd like to also mention church standards here just a little bit. We're not talking about church standards this morning. There's the standards that you have here as a church may be your personal conviction or they may not be. And I don't think anybody can say that everything that the church asks you to do is a personal conviction for you. But I'll share how I feel, is I believe that it's rather something a group has set up and we become responsible to do, even though it's not a conviction of our own. And so we're not talking about that, and let's not use church standards. Again, youth or whoever, let's not use church standards as our and maybe say this is my personal conviction. If it is, fine. But let's not use that, and wherever the church standards are, that's where we are, and maybe pushing the line or going a little beyond, or maybe we're well back from the standards, and so we feel okay. But I like to challenge you this morning, what is in your heart? Beyond what the church standards are, what is in your heart? Why do you follow the church standards? Well, you do possibly because the church has asked you to, and that has its place. But develop some convictions of your own. Go beyond that and develop some convictions of your own. Don't simply use the church standards as a crutch to decide what you can or cannot do. But look at them, look at your own life and decide where you stand for yourself. Indisputable issues, I mentioned that already, and we're not talking about indisputable issues this morning, or doctrinal issues or issues of right and wrong. You know, there's in church life and in personal convictions, there's things that I may take a stand on, and You know, I have my top button shut here this morning. Not all of you do. And I don't think, unless if your church has asked you to, I don't think that's a matter of right and wrong. Rather, it's something that I do and that others do, and maybe it's a personal conviction, whatever reasons we do it. But this morning, there are certain things that I cannot stand up here and say, well, I do it. If you do it or not, it doesn't really matter, because the Bible has spoken to it and it says this is right or this is wrong. And again, this morning, that's not personal conviction. That's following the Word of God. That's obeying God. That's obedience. That becomes a salvation issue of right or wrong, whether we follow the Word of God. And so we're not opening that up for discussion this morning. We're not opening up what the Word of God has closed and said, this is what you must do. But rather, we're looking at areas that we can differ. Within the church, we can differ, and we can take stands on our own that are necessary for us, because God has called us to do that. So let's not get confused on that either. A conviction is not, I just have a few other things here to share quickly. A conviction is not stubbornness. Sometimes that's used. It's not selfishness. It's not independent thinking. It's not manipulating others. It's not what we say sometimes, set in their ways. These things are not conviction, but rather there are things sometimes that we use to either make others look bad or to make ourselves look good or to get our way. And I think that that's different than personal conviction. Again, I like to just state that personal conviction, I don't think, divides people. But I think when men have conviction in their heart to do what's right, And they take that stand personally, it draws us together. And I think it makes church life smoother. It makes church life more comfortable. Developing. Okay, so you're here this morning, you say, well, I don't know that I have a lot of personal conviction. I don't know where I stand. Or I'm a new Christian and I don't really know where I stand on issues. We all were there. And maybe too many of us are still there. But we don't have to stay there. And I would encourage you to build conviction in your life. And it's some of it is just taking a look at these issues and see where you do stand. As issues come up and as differences come up in church life, take a look at it and see where you stand. Let's turn to 1 John 2. First John 2, verse 14 says, chapter 3. 1 John 2, 14, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. I'm still not at the right place. 1 John 2, 14, let's try again. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Here it talks about the fathers knowing him. And then it talks about the young men. I have written unto young men because you are strong. We think of strength. We think of youth and strength in the same picture. And I believe that to get that as long, also as it is with physical strength, can be true in spiritual things. I believe that a young man is a time to develop physical strength. I mean, spiritual strength also. And he says, I've written unto you, young men, because you are strong. Was he talking about physical strength? He could have been referring to that. But I believe he's talking about spiritual strength, because you know where you stand, because you are strong. Why were they strong? Because the word of God abideth in you. We become strong by knowing the Word of God. We develop strength. We develop conviction as we know what the Word of God says. And as we begin to apply that Word to our life, and we begin to see what God is telling us personally, not just the church, but as He speaks to us in our lives, we begin to develop conviction. I believe another way that we develop conviction is by knowing and following the Spirit of God, by opening our lives up to, first of all, to God's Word, and then opening our lives up to His Spirit. How many remember a time when they came to a certain point in their life where God said, do this? And you said, but I can't. I think we face that at times. God says, now here's something I want you to do, but you just, we say, I can't. We don't audibly say it, and we don't tell anybody about it, but we just feel like here's something that we resist. And maybe we don't say, I can't, but rather we begin to make excuses in our mind why that wouldn't make sense. There's no reason why I should do that, but think of these reasons. But it was mentioned already how God so often brings that back to us again. In Sunday school, that was mentioned. God brings that back to us, and he doesn't let go of it. We need to know the Spirit of God and follow His Spirit if we are going to become men of conviction. 1 John 4:1 talks about trying the spirits. And I believe that as we follow the Spirit of God, we need to be careful because there are many false spirits. And in knowing the Spirit of God and in following it, I believe it will draw us together. If the Spirit separates us, if it drives us apart, then we need to be careful of that Spirit. But I believe that as we follow the Spirit of God, we will begin to develop conviction in our lives. Overcoming peer pressure. I believe that peer pressure is not as a whole fertile soil for personal convictions. Now, there's positive peer pressure, and we tend to look at peer pressure in a negative way, and that's so often peer pressure is negative. And let's not do what we do just because. Now, I'm not saying that we see others as an example and we follow good examples. That's good. We need to do that. Because of ourselves, we can go the wrong direction. But let's not simply do what we're doing because others are doing it. Let's not simply do what we're doing because we'd hate to make a fuss because everybody else seems to be doing it. And I believe that's one of the values of church life. We have a group together that's trying to do what's right, and we don't face that very often. We shouldn't face that very often. In the world, we'll face it much more. When we're out and during the week, things we face that we have to stand up against because it's wrong pressure. But unfortunately, we face it in the church sometimes too. Let's make sure we know what we believe and we stand for it and build conviction so that. And again, peer pressure, I believe, flows up into our older years. I'm talking about the years above youth. I'm talking youth. We think of peer pressure with youth a lot, but I think it goes past that. And in our homes, we probably face more peer pressure than we would like to admit. And in that peer pressure, let's make sure that we are standing on the Word of God, that we are standing on convictions, and we know what we believe. We're willing to stand for it. In developing convictions, we need to do the things that we know are right now. As we grow in our spiritual experience, I believe God reveals new truth to us. But are you doing what God is telling you to do right now? And that could branch out into many different areas. Thinking about the laws, the civil laws, the laws of the land. Am I following those now? Am I following? The Bible says obey those laws. Are we obeying those laws? Or again, I'll mention standards. Are we doing the things that we know we should do as far as following church standards? I believe when we ignore the things that we already know that we should be doing, we begin to destroy the conviction that should be developing in our lives and in our hearts. When we decide that I know better and I'm not going to do these things. And I like to, now this one's a little controversial, but I'm going to add this one also, is let's be slow in casting off, I'm going to just call it the old ways. And I'm not sure that could have a pretty broad meaning. But let's be a little bit slow in casting off the old ways. And I think probably every generation faces this, is we begin to question. And I've been through this, and I'm still there at times. We begin to question a lot of things that we're doing. Why are we doing this? And is it right to do this? Should we be doing this? Does it have any meaning? Can't we just cast this off? If it's not in the Word of God, why are we doing it? And I don't have answers. I'm not going to stand and give a lot of answers this morning to some of those questions. But I will say this. Let's be careful about just casting it away. There's sometimes value there that takes a while for us to see. And I think some of these things someday may be a conviction of yours. And so let's be careful just to cast everything out that we don't understand and say, well, if I can't see it in the Word of God, I'm not going to do it. I refuse to do it. I don't think that's personal conviction, that I can't do this because I can't find it in the Word of God. I believe that in sorting through these things, it is important in our churches for the young and the old to work together. Because I believe that the younger generation is a little bit too quick to say, well, if I can't see it, let's throw it away. When the older generation maybe sometimes hangs on a little too tightly to some things that maybe don't have value. And I think as we can work together and blend those two extremes, if I may call them that, there sometimes we can find work with it in a way that is not damaging years down the road. I'd like to challenge you and myself quickly here in just a few areas. I'm going to go over a list, and I'm not going to spend much time on each item, but I'd like for us to think about these areas and ask yourself this question. Put the church aside now for a little bit in your thinking and say, don't think, well, this is what I do in that area. But rather, set that aside and ask yourself, where do I stand? Where do I stand on this issue? If there was no church here, and I was here, and I was somewhere by myself, and I was facing pressures in this area, where would I come out? Where do I stand? Because someday you may face that. Someday I may face that. I think it's very possible that some things are going to change in the next number of years if the Lord doesn't return. And I think it's very important that we start taking a look at where we're at in our personal lives. Because we may not always have the blessings of church life like we have today. And I've heard this comment recently, and I concerns me when I hear this thing coming from people in our churches that when challenged in an area, they say, well, I'm waiting to see where the church draws a line on it. Now, maybe there can be a right way to say that, but that worries me, because if we are simply depending on the church to draw lines, where will we be without the church? Where are we at in our own lives? Where do we take a stand? Okay, let's look over this a little bit. In modest dress, where do I stand in modest dress? We believe that modesty is a principle of God's Word, right? Do I draw some lines myself, or am I totally dependent on what the church sets up? Do I think about it? When I buy clothing, when I make my clothing, do I think about modesty? Is this modest? And modesty is more than exposing your body, or immodesty is more than exposing your body. It's dressing to be seen of others, to draw attention to ourselves. What about recreation? Maybe lines are not drawn a whole lot in recreation. Do I draw some lines in my life on recreation, the things that I will do, and how much money I will spend that, how much time I will spend on recreation? Is it simply dictated by how much money I have available? Or do I draw some lines? Sports. How involved do I get in sports? Does it become a drive in my life that as much as I can possibly do, again, as much time as I can put into it, or as much as I can get away with, I'll get involved in it? Our Christian schools, what about our Christian schools? Do we have personal conviction that makes it very important that our children go to a Christian school? Our private schools? Or is it just if it would become, we had a situation in Belize where it was somewhat a case where, well, whichever one is cheaper. Is that what decides whether or not we have our own schools? We are in the generation, most of us are in the generation where we've always known, it's all we've known, and we've grown up with it, and we're kind of used to it, and it's, yeah, we appreciate it. But is it important enough that we would be willing to suffer to keep it there because we see the influence and the danger of putting our children in a system that oftentimes is not what it should be? What about music? Again, I believe your church, I'm sure your church takes a stand on music here. Is that where your stand is? Well, I hope it's at least there. But do you know where you personally stand? What if today that would be taken out and there would be a church to say, no, we no longer take a stand on music? Where would you come out? And I've challenged some young men with this that just seem to struggle with this. Where would you draw a line if you in your life? Where would you draw a line if you had to draw it yourself? Is it just anything that has a name of Christian is okay? Anything that's called Christian music? That's what one young man said. Let's make sure that we know where we stand. What about our reading material? There's a lot of reading material, and there's differences. And this is one area that is probably left a little more open in church. What do we read? What do you read? There's Westerns, there's science fiction, there's romance, there's, or simply any novels at all. I remember a time in my life when I enjoyed reading Western novels. And you know what? I'm thankful that appeal is all gone. It's just not there. And I realize that I'd been better off if I'd never been there, if I'd have never picked up some of those books. And there may be times when, and I'm not saying you wait till the appeal is gone, because probably you're going to have to stop. If you're reading something you don't feel comfortable with, you may have to stop, and then you'll probably lose the desire for it over time. And for myself, I'll share where I'm at now. I have a hard time reading a book that isn't true. And I'm not saying that should be your stand. That's where I stand, and I'm not saying I never will do it either. But somehow it loses. There's just not the value there of knowing that this happened. If I sit there shedding a lot of tears over something that's made up, it just feels so empty. What about the radio and television? Those are areas that that we know where we stand, right? Hopefully we do. And I'll add right with that computer. What about the computer age? What about the use of our computer? I think there's where we don't. Yes, I know that there are those that struggle with the radio, and there are those that struggle with watching television, and maybe we can. But today I think the struggle comes with what we're doing on our computers, and that is a very difficult one. And I think it's one that if ever we needed to have some personal conviction, it's on that area. Because it's very difficult for the church to draw lines. And is it necessary? If we can draw lines in our own lives, is it necessary for the church to tell us exactly what DVDs we can watch, and for the church to tell us what we can watch on internet? If we have some personal convictions and say, here's something dangerous, here's something that's not a toy to play with, here's something that I don't have free access, here's something that I want to make myself accountable to others because there's dangers here, and we of ourselves take that stand, I don't think the church has to do as much as maybe we have to do at times, because we're unwilling to take a stand, or we simply lean on the church and say, well, whatever they'll require, I'll try to follow it. Do you draw some lines for yourself in how you use your computer? I hope you do. Involvements in politics. How involved do we get? Maybe for some of us, that's not a real temptation. And for others, it is much more of a temptation. And let's be careful how involved we get. Well, I'm going to move on just a little bit to fathers yet. And I believe that I mentioned youth. I think this is very important that youth take a look at where they stand. But I believe that in our churches, there's a real laxness in fathers also, in taking a stand, in personal conviction that they take a stand in their home. And I'm talking about myself. Do I take a stand in my home on issues, or again, do I simply do whatever? Do I simply allow in my home whatever everybody else is allowing? Is that where I stand, or is there some areas that I say, here's where I will stand? And with my children, here's where I take a stand. And when we hear that plea, and I'm sure fathers, we've all heard it, but the others are all doing it. Does it hurt a child sometimes to not do what the others are all doing? Now, I think we need to blend. I think there's a point in that. And I think we can go too far with that. If we simply get to the point where our children are no longer able to associate with any of the other children because of where we stand, then maybe it's time to find a place where our family can fit in. But I think a lot of times that isn't very true. I think a lot of times that's our children use that to get what they want. I challenge us as fathers. Do we have conviction in our lives? I heard Dale Heise had a message here. I think it was during your meetings, and I was over one night. And one thing he said, and probably you remember also, that stuck with me, and you've heard this before, I'm sure, we have the first generation. They believe and they practice. To them, it's a conviction. To them, they want this. This is what is right, and they really want it. And then we have the second generation coming along, and they practice it. They follow it. They do what they're supposed to. But you ask them why, and they stutter around for a while, and they're not sure. Maybe even say, I don't know. There's really no reason, but as long as the church asks it, I'll do it. What happens to the third generation? They're going to lose it. They're not going to keep it. And too often, sadly, not just lose it, but become bitter about it because they were asked to do things that Dad never even really believed in. And they cast it away, and they see no value in it, and they go far beyond where they ever imagined they would be, maybe. And then I stop and ask myself, what generation are we in? Are we in the first generation? Are we in the second generation? Are we in the third generation? Why? I like to ask you this morning, why do you do the things you're doing? Is it because it's required? Is it because if you came doing something different, or you did something in your business life and others saw you, know it would look bad, and so I better just hold back on that. Now, if I'm out of the area, maybe I'll do it, but not around here because word get around that I did that. Why are we doing what we're doing? Is it a conviction? Do I take stands in my home based only on what the church says? And if the church allows it, I believe we need to be careful. I've heard this comment also, that I wish the church would take a stand in this area. A father saying that about his youth. I wish the church would take a stand in this area. What's wrong with that? Is a father unwilling to take a stand in his home that he needs to take, that God, I believe, was calling him to take? He was unwilling to take it because the church didn't take the stand. We don't have to wait for the church to take a stand. And if we take a stand, well, we'll leave that for a little bit. How do we pass this on to our children? We don't want to be in the third generation. We don't want our children to be in the third generation. So how do we pass this on to our children so that they do not throw away the things that we think have value? And the things that we practice. I believe one thing is to give our youth some room to form their own convictions. Don't force everything upon them, but give them some room to form their convictions. And it may not be exactly where I think it should be. It may not be exactly where, especially as they get older, give them a little bit of room to form their convictions. And so that they can, if it was all stuffed down their throat all their life, and even as they get older and they maybe can make more of their own decision, let's give them a little bit of room. And let's live them and make them look attractive. If you tell your children that it's very important to be at church on Sunday morning, and yet the whole time you're getting ready for church, you're complaining about having to get there so early, or Wednesday nights you're complaining about you just wish you could stay home, yet you go because you really know you should be there. Maybe you don't go. Maybe you say it's important to be in church, but you don't go Wednesday nights very often. Do you think you'll pass it on? Do you think maybe your youth will do it? Do you think they'll have any conviction for it? You know, my dad's here this morning, and one thing we were taught is when we had church, we went to church. Whether it was Sunday morning, whether it was Wednesday night, we went to church. And I still feel that way. I feel that when there's church, I make a high priority to be in church. And I think we're losing that. And I would share that concern. If there's church, be in church. If you want to pass these things on, you've got to live them. We've got to live them. Just quickly, one more thought here. In Romans chapter 14, I'm not going to turn to it, but I think it's a good chapter talking about it's maybe a little more about offense, but it talks a little bit about personal conviction, I think, also. It talks about the eating of meat and causing offense. And I like to, maybe I will read one verse there quickly. Romans chapter 14. Thought I have it written down here, but I don't. Romans 14, verse 1. Him that is weak in the faith receive you, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. Let not him which is eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. The point I like to make here is in verse 3 is let's respect each other's convictions. There are different convictions among us. And maybe one brother takes a stand that you don't quite understand. You feel he's being a little bit overbearing in taking that stand. Or maybe somebody just doesn't take a stand. You're like, why can't they see it? Let's be respectful of each other's convictions. It goes on there to say in verse 5, let every man, the last part of verse 5 says, it talks about esteeming one day over another. It says, let every man be fully persuaded in his mind. And I believe that as God brings us to that point where we are fully persuaded, let's stand with that. I mentioned that our Mennonite churches, our Mennonite culture may make us weak at times. And I like to say something else that hear me out on this one, but I believe that sometimes, at times, church standards can militate against personal conviction. And I believe that as there is a lot of standards in a church, sometimes there's less personal conviction. But I think that where maybe we get this wrong is we look at it backwards. We say, well, if there wasn't so many standards, there'd be more personal conviction. You know why there's so many standards? You know why I believe there are so many standards sometimes? Is because there is no personal conviction. And I believe that we look at it the wrong way. And if you and I have conviction in our heart and we take stands that we know is right, regardless of where the church stands, there won't be so much need for constantly bringing these things up and hashing through them again to see where to try to bring things together and then making a few more rules and adding them on because people just aren't getting together. I think that as we have more personal convictions, so if you feel like the church has too many standards, take a look at your own life and see whether you are standing where you should be personally, whether you have some convictions, whether you are taking stand in some of these areas that we mentioned this morning. Are you taking stands in your life in these areas, or are you not? Well, I think we'll leave it there. And I would like to challenge you. This has been, to me, it's a need in my life, is to take a stand in areas where sometimes we don't really know maybe what's right and wrong. But as we take a look at it, and as we listen, as we read the Word of God, as we listen to God, as we hear our brothers speaking, as we share with each other, and then open ourselves up, I believe God can work in our lives. And we can grow and become closer to Him. And I believe that as we become men of conviction, it will also draw us together in the brotherhood. Let's kneel for prayer.